When she was a little girl living on the family farm in Iowa, Diane Ott Whaley was fascinated with seeds, especially the ones her German-American grandparents planted every season.
Yeah, so seeds, and the one seed that I remember the most was a morning glory seed that my grandparents grew on the side of their porch.
Little Diane would peek through dense clusters of morning glory blooms at the world going by from her grandpa's porch. But she also remembers helping him save the morning glory seeds to share with others. After she grew up and was married to Kent Whaley, she remembered the seeds and sought to plant them in her own garden.
We went down to visit him one afternoon, and he handed us a white pillbox full of seeds, the little black seeds. And he said, well, these are the seeds, the morning glory seeds. And he said, did you know that my parents brought the seed over when they immigrated to St. Lucas around the turn of the century? And I had never known that before. I just always thought they were my grandpa's morning glory seeds. And then I realized that they were my ancestors' morning glory seeds.
Those morning glory seeds became especially precious after her grandfather passed away and eventually led the couple to establish the nonprofit Seed Savers Exchange in Missouri.
And that was to network other gardeners together who were saving, collecting, and distributing heirloom varieties of seed.
Today, based in Decorah, Iowa, Seed Savers Exchange records and maintains thousands of varieties of open-pollinated vegetables and plants, all available to the public. SSE grows, saves, stores, and distributes seeds through its membership, sowing its heirloom seeds around the world. To keep seeds viable, certain ones are chosen each year to grow out, as they call it, at the farm's 20 gardens. Last year, staff chose to grow out peas, lima beans, cowpeas, okra, eggplant, mustard, and peppers. And these seeds are not the hybrid ones you find in the little white envelopes at the grocery store.
An heirloom seed is an open-pollinated variety, so that means that it would breed true from seed. So meaning all the seeds saved from that plant will grow the same plant with the same characteristics. The difference between open-pollinated and heirloom is that heirloom seeds come along with a history, and that brings the seed to life. Every seed has a story. So an heirloom seed, you know, has a story that goes with the seed. So that sets it apart from just the regular open-pollinated variety. And a hybrid variety, on the other hand, does not breed true from seed. Hybrid seed is produced by crossing two different parent varieties of the same species. So hybrids do not remain true in generations after the initial cross, so they can't be saved from generation to generation unchanged.
So each season you're forced to return to the grocery store to purchase fresh hybrid seeds, a sort of supply chain phenomenon. As a result, seed varieties have dwindled. But really, Diane Ott Whaley says, it all started with consumer demand.
As everyone knows, the tomato, what we remember, the old-fashioned tomato that we harvested in our parents' garden, is very thin-skinned and juicy. And then with the newer varieties, they were bred for commercial purposes as well. And that means that they wanted the skins to be thick so they could be machine harvested, that they could be shipped across country. They would ripen off the vine. They'd all be red, uniform size. So when, you know, that was very desirable for the commercial grower. And at that time also, people were moving away from the farms and getting away from gardening and depending upon commercial sources of food. So with all that happening, what happened was that the seed companies then, it was no longer profitable for them to be offering non-hybrid seeds because their customers were demanding hybrid seeds. So that was very sad because in that process, a lot of seed companies dropped, they stopped maintaining the non-hybrid varieties. So because, and not only did they just sell their seed out, but they didn't keep any stock seed either.
Back in the 70s when Seed Savers started, heirloom seeds were not in the vocabulary. So it took time for the concept to click among growers. But eventually, Seed Savers Exchange took off. Today it counts more than 13,000 members. And now a renaissance in seed saving is revolutionizing even the most conservative elder home gardener, who not only participates in heirloom seed exchanges, they're swapping them with whippersnapper sustainable farmers. Diane Ott Whaley shares the history of seed saving from her personal vantage point as a pioneer in her memoir, lauded by critics as a rich slice of horticultural history. And she's quite proud that Seed Savers Exchange Heritage Farm operates the largest non-governmental seed bank in the United States.
And now we have over 20,000 different accessions of seeds that we're maintaining here at Heritage Farm. And we do that in a number of ways. For one thing, we have to grow our seed collection out to keep the seed viable. So we take care of that, pay great attention to the viability and the integrity of our seed. Then we store the seed here at Seed Savers. We have two different situations. One is a frozen seed bank, and one is cool and dry. So we have two different collections here. But to be true stewards of this collection, we don't want to be storing everything in the same place. Like, don't keep all your eggs in one basket. So we have backup collections in the USDA that you mentioned in Fort Collins. We have a black box there where they just said, here, you know, you can use the space, you know, so we have a backup collection there, and we're very grateful for that. And then also Svalbard in Norway is another place where we're storing our seed bank of seeds.
That would be Svalbard Global Seed Vault in Norway, known as the Doomsday Seed Vault, which opened in 2008, collecting and storing more than 100,000 types of seeds from around the world in case of a catastrophic event. On the website, seedsavers.org, you can scout its seed collection. And if you visit Heritage Farm on North Wind Road in Decorah, Iowa, you can browse their library and tour the preservation gardens. You will also see heirloom cattle, White Park, an ancient breed from the British Isles. And for now, Diane Ott Whaley is Vice President of Education at Seed Savers Exchange. Her book, Gathering, Memoir of a Seed Saver, is her first. Noted illustrator Judith Ann Griffith has for years designed the covers of many Seed Saver seasonal catalogs, and 36 of those images have been reproduced in Whaley's memoir, lending a quaint storybook quality.
I mean, it's such a perfect combination because she adds art and beauty to heirlooms, and she's graced the covers of our publications ever since 1980, and it has evolved, and I can, you know, so we've had a lot of fun, and she's just been a wonderful supporter, and she gets it. She can capture she captures the beauty, the subtle beauty of all that we work with, and puts it in a medium that's there forever. And I was so happy I was able to use a lot of her illustrations in my book, which was just perfect because that lends the visual softness to what I think Seed Savers has as well. And we're a seed-saving organization, we're a gardening organization, but we're also very, very concerned with beauty.
Judy Griffith also illustrated the book jacket cover, a painting of a green eastern tiger salamander with pale yellow spots resting on a fat speckled leaf moon and stars watermelon, heirloom, of course. The image speaks to the symbiosis between crops and critters. The spotted subterranean salamander is a voracious feeder, and if present in your garden, will likely groom pests off your precious plants, and more the better if the watermelon patch is comprised of the rare heirloom moon and stars variety. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.